talking about what is the way back to God. How can we approach God? With what qualifications? You see? So one word, within one word, we can express it to have brahmacharya. Chastity of thought. If that is there, then there's hope for knowing self and knowing God. Brahmacharya means such a living which will lead us, which will qualify us to know God. You see? So, to find God, to know God, to know oneself first of all is we should have contentment. Stop where you are for a while and know what have you to do. Pity it is we have got a man body in which we can know God. But our daily increasing outward enjoyments, we have no time to stand and see what you want to do. For instance, one man is just flowing down in the river. He is sometimes sinking under the water, again coming up. He has no time to think. You must stay somewhere on the side and then think what to do for a while. Now we are hunting after worldly thoughts, worldly enjoyments, like anything. Howling dogs, excuse me. All these outward impressions come through the outgoing faculties, which are five conscious working through five organs. They are 10 in number. Eyesight through the eyes, hearing through the ears, smelling through the nose, and just some through the tongue and some through the... So there are 10 if you... These outgoing faculties will receive impressions from outside if we stop them, you see. Control our outgoing faculties from receiving impressions from outside. Only then, that is what is required first. So unless you control the outgoing faculties, you cannot take a step on. First of all, to stay somewhere, to think what are you, where are you are, what you want to do. For a while we do think we have got to see God, but so many thoughts, worldly thoughts are coming in, that we cannot, what you say, exactly clear-cut see what we to do. Intellectually something strikes, we have to do this and but it is just flowing down the worldly enjoyments and the worldly enjoyments. So first thing is stand where you are for a while. What is our idea? For a day, two, three, just leave everything and think what you have to do. That's the first thing. Second thing would come, the chastity of thought, you see. These five decoys, lust, anger, you see, and attachment, and ego, and so on. These are five dogs assailing us all through the outgoing faculties. If you control the outgoing faculties, these won't invade you, won't assail us. So just control the indriya, that's the first thing. You'll avoid all these attacking, you might say, of the five. These lusts to be saved. So for that, the worst of the dacoit is the lust. There are others too. We have to control our indriyas, you see. Lust is the lowest and the worst. Because, you see, on the control of lust or the chastity of thought depends the very building of the physical body, heart and brain. Any building which is raised on walls made of sand, how long will it stand? So first, worst of the decoils, which is Sailas, is the lust. Those who have not this quality, that will always drag you down. And if you know, you have to know God or see the light of God, you have to rise above all these Indians. Diametrical opposite thing. Yes? This is the worst of it. So death, justice of thought, or life of, what you say, self-control, this is the first thing required. If there is a goldsmith, you've got some machine in there to just melt the gold in a crucible. If that is not there, how can you have your gold melted? So this is a necessity. Even if the goldsmith is there, he cannot do anything. If that is there and there is no goldsmith, then who can do it? So goldsmith is perseverance. Continue. Don't be disheartened. Go on doing it. We are simply disheartened. It's a little progress. But the reason is we are dragged away by other things. As I told you, first thing is stay with your own contentment. Only thing you can think for a while, what we have to do. Then for that, to achieve success there, you must have good character. Character not only, I mean, this lust, but there are other characters too. Not to think of non-violence. Think of all in non-violence. No violence to anybody. To word, thought, and deed. Just observe truth. All failure should be eliminated. And purity of thought. Avoidance of lust through mind, word, and deed. Then God resides in every heart. Love for all. Self. This is the outer thing we are talking about. So Brahmacharya, what are the qualifications, you will say, what are the way of living which will help us to know God, is to have control over violence, evil thoughts, you see, lusty thoughts, no hatred for anybody, and love for all. So how this is formed now, the question is. Take, for instance, you take a vow from today that you will tell the truth always. Continue for some months. After, say, 6 months, if you would like to tell a lie, you won't be able to do it. Now take a vow from today, you will have pure thought. For 6 months continue, then you will be, just if you have to do anything, you will just nonplussed. Today think, take a vow that you are not to think evil of anybody else, nor hear anything evil about others, nor even to think about evil of others. After some months, you won't be able to speak, think of any. This is how the character is made, you see. So when health is lost, money is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, everything is lost. You follow me? These things are given here. Not so vividly put forward, you see. Man's body is the highest in all creation. In this only we can know God and we can know ourselves. If we have no contentment, you are going headlong down. And after finding out something where you are interested, you see, you don't think evil or good, you are after it. You must stay for a while to take what is before you. Decide what you want to do. It may take a day, 2, 10 days, never mind. But first of all, Gata from all outside, think what is your highest ideal. When you have decided, then naturally what will be heaven? When I joined the world, yes, after my education, I wanted to decide what should be my aim of life. I'm talking 19. Even as a student, I was thinking of that. But when I entered the world, naturally that was before me. It took me about 7 or 8 days, for hours together, all night, going into solitude. What should be my aim? I decided God first and world next. That was decided. Then even you take one step daily, you succeed. We have got no idea before us. We are adrift. Sometimes you think the world is all right, then you think God is all right. Where world and God are not two things, if you've got angle of vision correct. Very clear spectacles you wear on, it is all God. But if you have colored smoky glasses, then you see the world in that way. So first, make correct place. By keeping diaries, this is really meant underneath, at the bottom. You must make your character. You make your character, all is calm and quiet within you. You see your face, you realize yourself, then the yourself. So these are, that is why it is said, truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. A Persian saint has said, you see, Hum khuda khayyo hum dunyaye doon in khiyalasto mahalasto. If you, after realizing God, and at the same time you want to be held on down the worldly things, it is a dream, it is a whip. You cannot do it. Then you may question me, well, what about those married people? Well, married life is no bar to spirituality if conducted according to scriptures. All scriptures tell us marriage means taking a companion in life who will be with you in weal or woe, and both of you should know God. Because in the man's body only, that is the highest thing that is before us. One duty may be of begetting children. Use this power only for that, for procreation, not for enjoyment. We waste away these things in very frivolous things. Such a married life is no part of future. Christ said, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Swami Ramtirtha said, so long as in India, why husbands and wives do not live a pure life, begin to pure, maybe as children, one duty, not 100% duty. To lead a life of purity as brothers and sisters, there is no hope for India. So as I told you, we must have contentment. Stay somewhere to think where we are. All your pursuits, stand. Even the train runs on, stay some platform, you see. You're running like trains, but stop somewhere to think what is to be done, what is the goal in life. And decide one way or the other. When you're decided, then two things more are required. Brahmacharya. I explained to you what is brahmacharya. It is the control of all indriyas. Of your eyes too, of your ears too, of your nose too, and your mouth and lower organ too. If you control your outgoing faculties, none of the decades can assail you. There are 5 decades. Lust, attachment, greed, so on. So control of all these is called brahmacharya. Any living in a way which will lead you to realize God, take you to the realization. So first is check your thought. The other is perseverance. You see, go on. Rome was not built in a day. in your God, when you meet some master, he gives you something to start with, maybe little or more. Each man has his own background. Yesterday I was giving about 60 men people their initiation. They were all new. They said, oh, very sick, so much has been given to us. Well, it is there with you. People take hundreds of years to achieve that at one life, to rise above body consciousness. You have given us all at once. To maintain that, we have to just weed out all imperfections as required by your self-introspection diary. This only will make you for character, you see. From today, take a vow, as I told you, you will never tell lies. Always speak truth. After 6 months, you find you cannot tell lies. We don't care for these things, that is why we never go and like anything, you see. We are sometimes have progress, then again retreat, then fall down, again start, again. We dig up pits in the ground, some 2 feet, some 5 feet, some 7 feet, but there is no water anymore. That becomes to the very place we can fall down, you see. Dig one pit, go on, pit, dig it, you'll find water. Water is under this earth, you'll find it. So these are the things required, you see, to make a man. Man is the make. And God is, man should not run after God, I tell you honestly. God is after finding some man who is a man. You see, who is a man of character, who lives up to the ideals of life as taught by God in men, or man in God. This is what is wanted, you see, means brahmacharya. This is what is explained here. Not so vividly as I am now telling you, you see, but it's there. So those who know God, would like to know God, they must stand somewhere to decide what they want. Be not drifted away by the strong currents of our desires. For a while, stay and think and decide. We are adrift. Only when you stay, only then you'll be something very clear to you. Then decide what you have, your ideal in life. So what you have decided, then work for it. For that perseverance is required. And for that very thing is strong character and brahmacharya. So married and unmarried, both men can succeed. Married men only, those who are not given up to these things. Every day fall down into the pit. Every day, every night, every moment they think of those things. How can they grow? Spirituality is no joke, I tell you. But thank God you get something to start with the very first day with the grace of God. Maintain it. For that you have to keep your self-introspection diary. So this is what is required, you see. If anybody lives up to that, the master says, I am their servant. Any father, when he finds his son very up to the mark what he wants him to become, then he becomes his slave, you see. He rejoices to see his son. If a teacher, you see, will be very glad to find his students going up, winning laurels, yes, he will be very much pleased if the very students are just not obeying what he says and he lives where it is, you see. Then do you think he'll feel happy over it? How a master can feel happy over those who come to him who do not live up to what he says? That is why Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's all. He simply tells you to adopt a life, to live a life which is required for your highest ideal, that is to know God, to know self. And he gives you something to start with of the ideal, which leads you further to absolute God. Thank God. So, jo main keh raha tha aap logon ko sun rahe the, aaj se pran karo. Kya banna chahte ho? Ek ghanta baith jao, ek din chutti le lo. दो घंटे चार घंटे फैसला करो क्या बनना चाहते हो। अगर कोई दुनिया काम पुट इन हार्ट एंड सोल, दुनिया का काम करो कोई ना नहीं, उसे भी कस्बे कमाल कुन अजीजे जहां से किसी काम को करो खूब कमाल तक पहुंचाओ, सारा जहां तुम्हारी तरफ पहलवान बनना तो पहलवान बनो, होल वर्ल्ड विल आफ्टर यू, लुकिंग आफ्टर यू। नाउ दे दारा पहलवान है किंग काम बिफोर द आईज ऑफ एवरीबॉडी, आलिम बनो बहुत अच्छा। अरे भाई इंसान का हाईएस्ट आइडियल ऊंचा प्रभु को पाना, बी ए मैन ऑफ गॉड, तो भाई कुछ करना चाहिए, मच्छर टेकने से काम नहीं बनेगा। आई टेल यू फिर वी आई वे ओबेसेंस एंड गो ग्लोरीफाइंग योर गुरु और मास्टर एंड नॉट लिविंग अप टू व्हाट यू से। यू कैन डिसीव द वर्ल्ड नॉट टू डी हिम हु इज इन यू, वेरी क्लियर कट टेलिंग यू विदाउट एनी रिजर्वेशन, दिस थिंग हैज हेल्प्ड मी इन माई लाइफ एंड कैन हेल्प यू ऑल्सो। I wish you all become ambassador more than me. This is my wish. But if you live up to it, I'll wash your feet. तो ये बातें जो आपको समझाई जाती हैं समझने के लिए नहीं, पल्ले बांधो और लिव करो, तुम्हारा जीवन बतलाए कि व्हाट यू आर। सेंट फ्लावर सेलर शुडनर से माय सेंट इज वेरी परफ्यूम, लेट द परफ्यूम सेंट इज सेल्फ radiate perfume, others may know only by perfume. You see radiation, if you are good at art radiation will be good, if you are not good at art natural radiation will be bad. So we want to be good before the eyes of others, that is deceiving your own self and deceiving all others, but you cannot deceive your own self, the God is within you. This is what you learn here. You have come here to learn. Learn and live up to them. You simply, what you say, fill your brain with all these facts and don't live up to them, then what you going to do? The food which is digested, that will give you strength. Which is not digested, that will give you disease. So, bhaiyo, yahan aane ka matlab, एक आइडियल जीवन को पाना है, उसका ये जरिया। आगे आप कहते हो कोई समझाता नहीं, कितना खोल कर समझाया जाता, कैरेक्टर आज से बनाना शुरू करो, दो में किसी को धोखा नहीं दो, बस दिल साफ हो जाए। अगर कोई आदमी तुमको बुरा कहता है तो कहने दो, किसी कहने से बुरा नहीं होगा। अगर वो आप में कमी है उसका शुक्रिया अदा करो, बी थैंकफुल टू हिम, you have pointed out, or the dearest friend will tell you about your shortcomings, RF, anyway, you see, if that is within you, then just take out that thing, leave that all, you see, eliminate all those things from you, if they are not, then pray for him, that's all, God bless him. So, these things are very necessary, most important, we do not care to live up to that, that is why sometimes we progress, other times we don't progress. So there is hope for everybody, to fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. Aaj se kare, faisla karo kya banna chahte ho. Isse ye nahi matlab ki tum duniya ke kaam mein kaam karo, and your livelihood, just nourish your children, everything, have a companion to help you on the way back to God. That's a good idea. Live an ideal and decide what you want to become next already. But just जो कुछ मैंने कहा जाकर आज फैसला करो, घंटा दो घंटे चार घंटे एक दिन छुट्टी ले लो, decide what you want for all, find what you want to become. When you have decided, then have good life, good character, and perseverance. For a while, have contentment. When you have decided, then go on with it. Step by step will lead to the lead you to the goal, that's all. Of course, it will take time. Time factor is necessary. Those who have got good background, they start from there. Those who have not good background, they start and go perseverance, have perseverance in pursuing that thing, then they can go ahead even as compared with those who have got good backgrounds but do not persevere. So there is no hard and fast rule for any man. How long will it take? That depends on the perseverance and the true life he lives. I was just talking about charity. I would use the word charity now as compared with love. Love can be compared to the outer lust thing. So charity involves, you see, needs complete obedience. Such obedience for which mind raises up no doubt. Self-surrender, complete, and be respectful. Otherwise, only this charity, which turns into love, I will say now, that has background of ego, that transcends all laws, you see. And that very love makes us to control the to whom we love, you see. So love is only love when it becomes charity, I would say. Complete obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. That keeping of the commandments should be from a heart, out of complete self-surrender. That you will be able to do only when you are convinced at heart that to whom you are going to obey is perfect, is more wise than, is wiser than you. He knows all the pros and cons of the whole thing. So such like prema is always appreciated by master. I quoted my instance once. I disciple always asks the master some favor. This is the favor I asked him. I wanted favor from you, Master. I want love and charity. And that should be most respectful, with complete self-surrender. When he got the letter, he put that letter over his breast. He said, I also want that. So I was just telling you, love your master, keep his commandments without any ifs and buts, complete self-surrender, because he knows what is to be done, otherwise we suffer. I was just quoting the instance of Mansur. He said, I am God. He is put to the gallows, to the cross. Shams Tabriz went to somebody. Somebody called him, his son was dead, died. He said, well, make him alive. He said, name of God I ask you to stand up. In the name of the Prophet I ask you to stand up. He did. The dead body did not raise up. He said, I order. Raise up, then he rose up. And what was the result? His skin was dry. So love is only love and respectful, with complete self-surrender. Such a love will... You lose your ego. That will appeal to the heart of the God in man. Generally we love, we transcend the bounds of respect, because we have got no surrender at heart. That results in disrespectfulness. sometimes we vie with the master, sometimes we want to overrule the master. Because we are not convinced of the master that he is more wise than us. He is wiser than us. At least that much should be there. You may not call him a God for you, but you cannot tell. Our master, sometimes people ask him, well, how should we take you? He said, take me as your elder brother, as your father, as your teacher, as your well-wisher, and do as I order you. And according to that, when you go up, you rise above body consciousness, you see his greatness there, then you may call me anything you like. Only then you can listen to me. When you don't go in. And out of criterion is what? He must be able to give you something to start with. That's the only criterion. So you are here, all of you. What for? For love? Out of love. And love knows complete self-surrender, obedience, respectful. These are the things which are wanted. If anybody comes here, you see, just as a koto Jew, and this is of my life when he went to the pastor first in the early days, he passed on, but he came out to where I was standing, and then he related the story, you see.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Leslie McIntosh. Are you there, Leslie?
Yes, John. Good morning.
Okay, carry on.
We'll begin Master's satsang with the invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord, and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. We'll continue from The Night is a Jungle, Chapter 4, The Most Natural Way. The ultimate aim toward which all religion's coverage is salvation. But the means to salvation lie within, and we shall have to traverse the way back to God. And that way back is one, and one only for all mankind, the way of death and life. All the masters who came in the past spoke of this way, the way of inversion or entering within. If we traverse on this way and learn to die at will, as Kabir puts it, 100 times a day, or as a Christian saint tells us that he died daily, then death can have no terror for us, and we will not be taken unaware when it comes, and will not get lost at the last moment, but smilingly kick off the mortal coil and march ahead as a matter of routine. Sant Kabir further told the pundit, I tell the people to remain in the world and go to the wilderness. I only tell them to face life and to fight the battle. I only say, maintain your bodies well, for they are the true temples of God. Maintain your families, for they have been given to you by God's grace. Maintain them. God resides in every heart. Have love for your family, for all the social religions, nay, for all mankind as a whole. This is what I mean when I say, remain in the world and yet out of it. From where do our attachments arise? They originate with the body. We are attached so much to it that we cannot distinguish our true self. When we have to leave it, all of a sudden, we feel lost. Therefore, Kabir says, remain in the world, but enter into the kingdom of God. See the light of God by opening the third eye or the single eye within. When you rise above body consciousness, you will find this physical frame to be mere dust, a clod of clay. Dust thou art, and unto dust returneth. You are then cut off from the body from within, and consequently from the outer environments. You will be in the world, yet out of it. Sant Kabir compares such a life to that of the stately swan that, living in the water, takes to its wings, soaring high and dry. Nanak speaks of this. So we should live in the world and yet out of it. But we are simply attached to the body itself. We know nothing beyond this life. We say, right here, now and forever, eat, drink, be merry, for this life is all in all. At times the masters have to tell the truth, bitter as it may sound, in very clear terms, because they have love for humanity and they wish to reach the goal. They wish all to reach the goal. When Christ entered the temple, do you remember what he said to the money changers there? Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Similarly, Kabir said to the pundit, O learned man, you are like a maid that has no husband of her own, and yet goes about telling other people that she can give them what she has not known all her life. You just try to work upon their emotions by high-sounding words and hypocrisy. But how can you show them the reality when you have not seen it yourself? If you want to see God, come and follow me. The truth of the matter is that those who have not seen God themselves cannot make others see. When their own inner eye is not yet opened and they do not see the light of God within, how can they open the eyes of others and make it manifest or make manifest the light of God? Sant Kabir further told the man of learning, you have frittered away your life and lost life's purpose. The human body occupies the highest place in all creation. It was given to you to know yourself and to know God. That opportunity you have frittered away. You are not only deceiving your own self, but deceiving all those who come to you. Had you kept to yourself, it would have been much better, for then you would have lost life's game only for yourself and not made others lose theirs. You have never married. How can you tell others what marriage is? You have lost your opportunity. Why waste that of others? Why are you making others lose their golden opportunity? In the Upanishads, a story is told of King Janak, a seeker of truth. He gathered together all the sages of the time and said, my dear friends, I want to know the way back to God. Can you teach me its theory, since theory precedes practice? It is said that one Yajnavalkya, a rishi, satisfied the king on this account. He got the price fixed for the purpose. But then another sage, Garji, who had realized the truth, questioned Yajnavalkya. Look here, O rishi, have you seen the reality that you have spoken of and expounded so well with your own eyes, just as you see those cattle grazing in the meadow? And what did he say? Yajnavalkya, true to his own self, unhesitatingly admitted, no, I have only understood the theory. I am not a man of realization myself. Naturally, Jonak had to search elsewhere for the practical solution to the problem. We must be sincere. If you have seen the truth, only then ask the people to follow you. Dear friend, come and see and have it. But if you have not seen the truth yourself, then why, like the proverbial blind man, lead others into the pit along with you? We must be sincere to our own selves and to our fellow men and women. If you only know the scriptures in theory, say so. If you have seen the light and can rise above body consciousness and are also competent to give others some experience of it, well and good. Go and tell the people so. You see, that is the difficulty. People speak so much about the scriptures. You must have heard so many speakers holding forth on the subject. But how many of them are there who have had the firsthand experience of truth and are competent to give you also that experience? To talk of spirituality is just like giving a learned discourse on the principles of business without having any capital or capital capability to start the business. While here, each morning people sit for meditation and get some experience of the inner truth. When you get experience inside, however elementary it may be, you are convinced of the reality and can develop it to any length you may like by regular practice. Preaching was meant to be done only by those who had the first-hand experience of truth. But preaching has become a source of income and paid service in all social religions, as has made matters worse. I am not talking of any particular religion, but what I say is true for all religions. People have made a business of religion, and so many have taken it just as a means of livelihood. But God's gifts are all free. They pretend to serve him, but at bottom, it is all mercenary. The world is full of them, and that is why we are fed up with the very word master. But a real master does not seek worldly gain. He gives God's gift, spirituality, freely and free of cost. He has realized God. He is the perfect man. He has transcended the physical consciousness and has seen the light within. What did Kabir tell the pundit? O learned pundit, if you want an experience of the reality, go to some competent living master. What sort of master? Asked the pundit. Then Kabir went on to define master as one through whom God speaks. This is what all the saints, including Kabir, have said. Thus we have in the Bible, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Guru Nanak says, poor Nanak only speaks what he is bidden, and O Lalo, I only say that which my Lord speaks through me. A Muslim divine also says the same thing. The words of the prophet are the words of God, though they may seemingly appear to drop from a human tongue. You too have the same possibility in you, but you have not yet come in contact with the power working in you because you are still bound to the physical body. As long as you do not lose this body consciousness, you cannot enter into the beyond. The Bible says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must seek out one who has risen into cosmic awareness and is a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He will no doubt be a man like any of you, but he has realized his own self and experienced God within. When you sit with him, you will find him quite a different being, full of love and compassion for all, a radiating center of the divinity in him. The very atmosphere around him is charged with the radioactive rays of spiritual bliss. A man who has attained the highest degree of mastery in any field of activity will at first appear like an ordinary man. He is essentially a man first and last, but he has developed in his own particular way. When you sit with him, you will find him a giant in his own field. This is exactly the case with a master soul. When you meet him, you will find him just like any other man at first sight. He himself will tell you, "I come to you as a man to man. I am a man just like you. I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master and progressed in the spiritual way." Those who are in search of the God way are most welcome. A doctor is a man first and then a doctor. An engineer is a man first and then an engineer. Similarly, a spiritual man, a master, is a man first and then a spiritual guide. All possibilities are within man. Great is man. He who has developed in a certain line and has an experience of it is able to guide you also if you are seeking the same way. I told you in our meeting the other day before yesterday, is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? And yesterday, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is what I emphasized. Seek ye first. I.e., that this is the most important thing in life, the thing that concerns you most. Know thyself has become the theme of all the masters who have come so far. Know about yourself and not about others, they said. Know thyself, who you are and what you are. That is the most important thing before us. Those who have known themselves, call them by any name you like, will be able not only to put you on the way, but give you some experience of the way. Then you can go ahead. That is why Sant Kabir asks us to seek such a man. That man is not an ordinary man. I tell you, he has come, of course. He has, of course, a human body like any of us. But he has come in contact with the truth within and become its mouthpiece. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What they say is not premeditated. It is all unthought of from the human level. And as Emerson puts it, the thoughts which come of themselves from within are always perfect. The master is not the physical entity. He is the divine power working at the human pole. What did Jesus say? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave nor forsake thee. This is what all the masters say. I am not going to quote you references from the various scriptures, but am only giving you references from the Bible because you are so conversant with it. The master power never leaves you. It is not the human body, but the power working through it that remains forever. Christ's power has been working through the ages and shall continue to work, but through different divine instruments and according to the needs of the times. The body alone perishes, but that power remains. Those who have really seen the truth within can open your inner eye and make you see it. If they give you some inner experience, however little it may be, you can develop it. One of Christ's parables illustrates this beautifully. A rich man going out on a journey distributed among his servants some talents, 20 to one, 10 to another, 5 to a third. When he came back, the man who had 20 talents had made them 30. The one with 10 had made 15 of them. And the last who had gotten only 5 had never touched them, but had kept them safe buried underground. And no use was made of them. As no use was made of them, the master thought it prudent to withdraw them. What I mean to say is that when you are given some experience, you have to develop it as you do your learning in a school. Initiation does not mean observance of any ceremony or ritual or anything of the sort. It is just a practical experience of the science spiritual. The theory is explained first, and then the experience is given, and that is to be developed from day to day. That master power overhead, which gives the experience, protects both within and without, and keeps a constant watch over the disciples. You will find that such people have been coming to the masters and asking them, as Philip asked Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." What did he reply? He grew indignant and said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Christ was a conscious co-worker with the Father or divine power within him. Only he is conscious of the power working through him. Only he who is conscious of the power working through him can bring you in contact with the power within. That contact is possible only when you rise above body consciousness and not otherwise. It is something quite apart from intellectual activity. Intellectual attainments may serve as an additional aid to a practical man, for then he can explain to you the same thing in so many ways, very graphically. But the man who is only seeking intellectual with no practical inner experience, is, as Sheikh Saadi, a Muslim saint, rather strongly puts it, an ass carrying a heavy load of books, quite ignorant of their value. A Sikh master has said the same thing in a milder way. He says, "The ladle moves briskly in the pudding, but never tastes its sweetness." Even so, you revel in an intellectual knowledge of the scriptures, but have never experienced what they describe. This does not mean that you should not read the scriptures. Reading is a help. Those who have entered the field of the intellect and are determined to know the why and wherefore of things ultimately find the way, but the way that they have to follow is the same that the unlearned follow. The path is the same for all mankind, and it begins when you rise above the physical plane, and that, as said so often, is a practical subject. To have intellectual attainments is also a blessing. Once it so happened that Keshab Chandra Sen, the learned head of the Brahmo Samaj in India, went to Ramakrishna, a man of realization. He went to him just for the sake of understanding things, and Ramakrishna told him, "If you are ready to learn by a few words, then come to me. And if many, go to my disciple, Vivekananda." Intellectual knowledge is a good thing in itself. It is a feather in the cap of a practical adept. But with some people, it becomes an obsession, and they not only deceive themselves, but they also deceive others, for they have no access inside. When the masters come, they tell us of God and the God way. They remind us of the reality within. Man is the teacher of God, of man. K. Can past masters help us? Yes, we do need them. They are helpful in their own way. We have respect for them because they gave out the truth and their experience of it. Those who came in contact with them were put on the way, and they also realized the same truth. The scriptures are the treasures of the experience that they had with their own selves and with God, and we are fortunate to have had them with us, and we are fortunate to have them with us today. If we had come 2,000 years earlier, we would not have the New Testament with us, and I would not have given you those beautiful quotations from it. All scriptures deal with the same truth, but we are familiar with one or another scripture only. When I quote the Bible to you, you have no difficulty. So it is with people of other faiths. They follow easily what is said when I offer quotations to them from their respective scriptures. All the scriptures make my task easier, as well as that of my listeners. The sacred books are just handy aids in the hands of a man of realization, for they all deal with the self same subject, God realization. What we need is someone who has the experience within himself of what is spoken of in the scriptures, and who is competent to give us some taste of that experience right now. Call such a man what you will, per, murshid, saint, or master. That is immaterial. We have respect for all such persons who came in the past or who are here now in the present age. Those who have seen the reality can put us on the path and give us a first-hand experience of it. The need of such a God-man has been felt ever since the world began. Some people say that they don't need any master. Well, they will have to rely on books, the Holy Scriptures. These scriptures are, of course, more reliable than the intellectual commentaries on them by the learned. If the commentators have seen the truth, they will interpret the scriptures correctly. And if not, they will confound and confuse the reader in spite of all his wits and lead him nowhere. When you rely solely on books, you ultimately rely on some master, for the scriptures, after all, were written by somebody. Instead of this indirect approach, would it not be better if you could meet a man of realization directly? He has practical experience of what the scriptures describe and can give you much more than you can ever get from books. He can give you firsthand experience of the reality itself. This aspect has been stressed by all the saints. They enable us to understand how we may have that experience in our lives. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him." Thus, the Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son, and all others to whom the Son reveals him. For he becomes a conscious co-worker with the Father on the divine plan. This is why Christ said, "I and my Father are one. It is not I that am doing it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, ye should have known my Father also." In what a forceful way he has put it, through the man who has known the Father, God, you can also know God. The alphabet of the teachings of the masters starts where the world philosophies end. That is the beginning of true religion. It begins when you come above body consciousness and not before. Naturally, the man who has experience of the truth is the only one competent to put you on the way. You may be able, in the company of such a righteous man, to understand the true nature of things, the real significance of what is highly abstract. So all masters who have been coming from time to time have been giving out the truth. The question now arises, what sort of yoga, spiritual discipline, do they teach? We have so many yogas, so many ways of coming to the home of our Father to reach the state of unchangeable permanence, all peace, all joy, all happiness, which never decays and is not subject to dissolution or grand dissolution. That is the goal which we set before us in our first meeting. I also gave quotations from different scriptures. The ultimate goal of all religions is God. We are worshipers of the same God, no matter whether we belong to one country or the other, east or west, to one religion or another, for that makes no difference. All religions say the same thing. Love God and further, as God resides in every heart. Love all humanity. This is the best way of leading our outer life. If followed naturally, the kingdom of God would surely come on earth, for which we so often pray but are discouraged. Next, we have to enter into the kingdom of God, reach our true home. The way to it starts when we rise above body consciousness. But how are we to achieve this? All scriptures speak of the way that leads back to God. We have to find this way. And that will end Master's reading. In closing, Master says, each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility.
Leslie, for the wonderful reading. Next week, we'll be going on to daylight savings time, so remember to turn your clock forward before the satsang. Excuse me a minute, and I'll check the count. So today we had 70 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and thank you, Master, for providing this to us. Now please hang up your phone.